Second Peter, as I said a few moments ago, very much lines up with the book of Jude. It's real hard preaching. He's dynamite. He preaches against sin and judgment to come. And he quotes the book of Enoch a lot in this book. I want to quote just read a few things to you from the book of Enoch. Some of you have heard me read a little bit from it. This is also on the website. If you want to go to discovertheword.com, you can get this free. It'll print right up. You can either read it or it'll print right up, right out for you. I'm going to read just a few things to you in here. All right, in chapter 2, of course, now Peter quotes him. It says, "Behold, he comes when 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon them and destroy the wicked and reprove all the carnal for everything which the sinful and ungodly have done, the sinful and ungodly deeds that they have done and committed against him." He says over and over again that he is going to bring judgment upon the ungodly, and that there is judgment to come. And remember, Enoch, if this book is true, if this book is actually Enoch's words, this is the oldest book in the Bible. The oldest writings in ecclesiastical history that we have altogether. Go on here just a little bit further. He said, "Your faces will be covered with shame, while every deed strengthened by crime shall be rejected." He's talking about the lawless people, those without God. "Woe unto you sinners, who in the midst of the sea, on dry land, are those against whom an evil record exists. Woe to you who squander silver and gold, but obtained in righteousness, and say, 'We are rich, possess wealth, and have acquired everything that we want in this world.' I have sworn to you, you sinners, that neither mountain nor hill has been or shall be subservient to woman." And then he says in verse 21 here, in another chapter, he says, "Woe unto you who love the deeds of iniquity. Why do you hope for that which is good? Know that you shall be given up into the hands of the righteous, who shall cut off your wicked necks and slay you and show you no compassion. Woe to you who rejoice in the trouble of the righteous, for a grave shall not be dug for you. Woe to you who frustrate the word of the righteous, for to you there shall be no hope of life. Woe to you who write down the word of falsehood and the word of the wicked, for their falsehood they record, that they may hear and not forget falling. To them there shall be no peace, but they shall surely die suddenly." This is really hard preaching. He says, "Woe to them who act impiously, who laud and honor the word of falsehood. You have been lost in perdition and have never led a virtuous life. Woe to you who change the words of integrity and transgress against the everlasting decrees." And he said, "Woe to you who expand the crime of your neighbor, for in hell you shall be slain. Woe to you who lay the foundation of sin and deceit, who are bitter on this earth, and on it shall you be consumed. Woe to you who build your houses by the labor of others." Cheating and stealing is what he's talking about. Now this is Enoch's words so many thousands of years ago. This is before the flood. Now he's preaching to these people that lived before the flood. And Jude and Peter both quoted him. And that's why I'm reading this to you tonight. "Every part which is constructed with brick and with a stone of crime, I tell you that you shall not obtain peace. Woe to you who despise the extent of everlasting inheritance of your fathers, while your souls follow after idols. For to you there shall be no tranquility." Then he says, "In those days who become pregnant shall go forth and carry off their children and forsake them." Now what it's talking about, lawless people and mothers without sense of motherhood. that only care for themselves. They never care about their children. The women who become pregnant shall go forth and carry off their children, forsake them. Their offspring shall slip from them, and while suckling them shall forsake them. In other words, when they're nursing babies, they'll just walk off and leave them. They don't care. Self-indulgence. Selfishness. And they shall never return to them, never instruct their beloveds. Again, I swear to you, you sinners, that crime has been prepared for the day of blood, which never ceases. They shall worship stones and engrave golden and silver and wooden images. They shall worship impure spirits, demons, and every idol in temples, but no help shall be attained for them. Their hearts shall become impious through their folly, and their eyes be blinded with mental superstition. Many people in religions today are simply superstitious. In their visionary dreams shall they be impious and superstitious, lying in their actions and worshiping a stone. Altogether they shall perish. He goes on like that, and he talks about in the last days, he says, in those days shall fathers be struck down with their children in the presence of each other, and brethren with their brethren shall fall dead, until a river shall flow from their blood. Remember in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the battle of Armageddon, and that the blood from this battle will flow as deep as the horse's bits? It's quoting Enoch. For a man shall not restrain his hand from his children, nor from his children's children. His mercy will be to kill them. Nor shall the sinners restrain his hand from his honored brother. From the dawn of day to the setting of the sun, the slaughter will continue. The horse shall wade up to his breast, and the chariot shall sink to its axle in the blood of sinners. That's all from this little book. That was page 160 in mine. I don't know exactly which one is got in there. Now let's go to that goes to Joe. Joe and Irene. Oh, okay. Right over there. Okay. Oh, thank you.
Hand me your wallet.
What?
Hand me your wallet. Uh-oh. There you go. You
haven't seen the truck? Just my money and identification is there, that's all. Nothing important. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to start out here is Simeon. Petros. Doulos. Time. Apostolos. Asu. Christu. Tois. Isotomon. Himen. Lacusin. Piston. And the Kylosune. Tu, Theu, Himon, Kai, Soteros, Esu, Christu. That's the Greek of it. All right. Now, we're going to put to rest the Greek idea of upsilon, or actually upsilon. All right. Look at that word, Simeon, there. Simeon. How do you pronounce that? Upsilon that they say so much in the Greek grammars that are written from a German point of view. How is it pronounced? How is Simon pronounced? Is it Suman or Simon? Okay, like an I or a Y. Okay, there it is. See that little upsilon? That you have a sigma and then an upsilon and a mu, epsilon, omega, and nu.
Can you draw the upsilon of my kind?
Okay, upsilon is a U.
Oh,
all right. Just a U. Mm-hmm. This is it on the first word. All right. This is where we get the word Simon from. All right. Simon is an old word. It means one who hears. All right. One who hears. Simon Peter. Now, what was Simon Peter's other name? Simon Peter's other name.
Peter of the Rock?
No. What was his other name? It was Aramaic. What was his other name? Well, actually, Hebrew. All right, I'll do that.
Right in Greek.
It's not Greek, though.
I think it's Hebrew. Greek. I don't care. I'm a useful person back there.
All right. Huh? Cephas. 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 That's backwards in the, that's Hebrew or Aramaic, okay? That means stone or little rock. All right? Cephas. That's where it comes from. Turn someone to Matthew 16:19. We're going to really study this verse tonight. I'm going to spend the whole, maybe the whole night on one verse. We're going to look at this, and when you get settled here, you're going to know who the stone is and who the rock is. All right? Now, as you go to Matthew 16:18, what kind of a person was Peter in the actually during the ministry of Jesus Christ?
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous, extemporaneous, and then spontaneous, and he changed his mind with wind in all reality. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he exemplified. Now the word Petros is what we're looking at right here. And this is the way you'd say it in English, okay? Petros. Petros, Petros. Petros means a little stone that can be that can roll along the highway. As somebody is going down the road with a horse, they can pick a stone and it can roll and bounce around from either side of the road. Okay? Now there's another word that's a whole lot like this, and people get very confused about it, and it is Petra. Okay? Petra. And that's the way you spell it in English. So much like Greek, okay? It means Peter. This is the name Peter, all right? Now, many people of the Catholic Church, basically, started out with saying that the church was founded upon Peter. Let's go back in the Bible and see what the Bible says about the church being founded upon Peter and him being the great foundational stone of the church, okay? The word Petros means a little stone that can be kicked around, thrown, a child can pick up and throw it. The word Petra is a foundational stone. A stone like the Rock of Gibraltar. How many have been Morro Bay? That's a Petra over there. That big rock, that's a Petra, okay? Now, if you go down and dig it down in certain places, I used to drill oil wells up around Strathmore. You go down to the topsoil and there is solid granite. I mean, it's solid granite. I mean, when you're sitting there with the drilling bit going down, round, it just sits there and just bounces on that granite. But that's a hard petra. Matthew 16:18, who has that? Who got it? Brother Gray.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
All right. Now let's go back and look at this verse. All right? Matthew 16:18. Now that's probably King James, isn't it?
Yeah. All right.
Now King James, the Church of England, very much believed just like the Catholic Church. And so they're going to translate their Bible just exactly like the Catholics believe. And they did that on purpose. Now, this is what's throwing people for such a loop. All right? And he says here, Cago de soe lego. And I also say to you that you, you are Petros. All right? Petros.
Singular?
Nominee, singular, masculine. Petros. All right?
The thou, the you. The who?
That's you? Homophone signal. Yes. That you, Sue, that's you, that's the second person pronoun. Okay, Sue. That you are Petros, a little stone that can be kicked around, taken up and thrown, or whatever. And then we have another word here. We have chi epitate. But, that word chi there, that's a strong adversary conjunction. You can look that up on page 208 in Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon. Alright? And but, upon this, the Petra. Yes.
What is the indicator on chi that makes it a strong adversary?
Syntax. That's the fact on singular.
Yeah.
Syntax is a sentence. Tells you what how to translate it. And syntax. It comes right out of Greek. Okay, that word syntax. It means it's within the sentence. Syntax. All right, but upon this rock, this gigantic foundational stone, he said, I shall build building of me the ecclesia, the church, the ones called out. Now, when did Jesus call out his church?
What was the one?
Matthew 4. The church means, it's the word ecclesia, and when he started right there by the Sea of Galilee, he said, come on, Peter, come on, John, come on, James, these are the ones called out, okay? Ecclesia, ones called out. And he used a term that was common among these people. This word ecclesia was not some brand new term that Jesus invented. It was a very old term. It was the term for each Greek or Roman city, little independent democracy. Every city was a democracy within this nation. And the Roman nation, or the Greek nation, gave some basic guidelines. And everybody in that city, they elected officials. And they were ones that were called the ecclesia. The ecclesia would meet, and they were a subpoenaed, legal, called-out body within the Greek Empire that made the decisions for that whole town where they lived. And they collected taxes. They, if there was a draft, if they needed food or whatever for the whole nation, they're the ones that took care of it within that body. So Jesus used a term that was familiar to these people, and he says, I have an ecclesia. Yes, Brother John.
Would you write that for
me? Ecclesia?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's the word that's used. All right. This word ecclesia here. Ecclesion is the word that's used there. Let me get a better pencil. It comes from ek and kalia. All right. Ek means what? Out. Every building has a ekit sign. Ekit. All right. We call it exit sign, but it literally means out of it. This is the way to get out of this building, out of it. Okay? Exit. Now, X, and then our word call comes from this word. What does call mean?
Call.
I'm calling you. It means to call out. All right? One called out. That's what the ecclesia. Now, who did the calling? Jesus. All right. They called him out of a body of people that had been prepared for him, didn't he? Who was the forerunner of Christ? John the Baptist. Every one of these people had been baptized by John the Baptist, by the way. They already were believers. Now he calls them into his church, his ecclesia, his little subpoenaed, legal, called out body, working as administrators in his kingdom. All right, that's exactly what the word ecclesia meant at one time. All right, it's not something new. Now, that's what he says here, and I say unto you that you are Peter, but upon this great foundational rock, I'll be building the church of me, and the gates of the unseen world shall not be able to wrestle her down. That's what it literally says. Or prevail against her. The gates of the unseen world are the gates of hell, Hades. Right? The unseen world. That's what Hades means. Now let's turn to another place. Now, we know what Jesus said to Peter and to his assembly here, don't we? Now, what do you think Peter thought about it? Do you think Peter thought he was the rock? Okay, turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 7 and 8, somewhat. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 7 and 8. First Peter 1, 7, and 8. Who's got that? First Peter 1, 7, and 8. Anybody? You got it, Brother Ken? Go ahead.
That the fruit of your faith be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible.
Are you in the right one,
First Peter 1?
First Peter 2, 7 and 8.
That's our original.
Okay.
This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which was the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and the stone of the stumbling of and a rock of defense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they are also appointed.
All right. Now turn to someone in the Old Testament, Isaiah 28, verse 16, if you have an Old Testament. Isaiah 28, verse 16. These are some extremely, this is a foundational teaching in God's Word, by the way. This is why I'm spending so much time on this. We're going to figure this verse out tonight before we go any further, all right? Isaiah 28. He's quoting the book of Isaiah here. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Have you got that, Ken? No, Isaiah 28, verse 16. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament. I mean, in Jesus' writing. And has anyone got a book of Isaiah?
Okay.
You got it, brother. All right.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes it will not act hastily.
All right. Who is the stone? Who is the cornerstone in Zion? Jesus. That's who the stone is. Now we're going to compound this thing. Who did Peter say it was?
Jesus.
All right. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. First Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 4.
What was Isaiah what?
Isaiah 28:16.
I got the drink.
Okay.
And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock is Christ.
All right. Now he's talking about, Paul is talking about Israel in the wilderness, isn't he? Now how did God provide water for Israel in the wilderness?
Water from the rocks.
From the rock. And he had Moses strike the rock, didn't he? All right. He struck.